This morning. It's been, this is an interesting gospel passage at any point in time. But given the number of forest fires that there are all across Canada and in other parts of the world, it seemed like, wow, the whole earth is on fire. It's been a hot summer to date. And our gospel lesson this morning really turns up the heat, so to speak. Now, if a pollster walked around this city with a film crew, or maybe other cities, and asked strangers at random, why did Jesus come into the world? We might presume that none of the respondents would reply, well, that's easy. Jesus came into the world to bring fire upon it and cause division in it. If someone answered that way, the pollster might assume the person had misheard the question. To be sure, Jesus doesn't hold back in our gospel selection this morning in Luke when he speaks of fire and division on account of his coming. We see this also reflected in the Gospel of Matthew. He makes it sound like it is core to his mission. And neither does he mince words. In the second half of the reading, Luke 12, 54 to 56, he's calling the people hypocrites for interpreting the weather, but not being able to interpret the present time. In other settings in the ancient world, the word hypocrite meant actor or pretender. Jesus uses the word elsewhere in Luke to talk about religious people who perform a role and play a part, but misunderstand the heart of God and the spirit of the law. The people likely did not appreciate Jesus calling them pretenders, play actors, or frauds. I'm sure none of us would. Put Luke 12, 49 to 56 in its wider context, and the heat goes up instead of down. The chapter begins with Jesus issuing two warnings. First, avoid the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Second, fear God rather than human beings, for the former has the power to throw us into hell. And I can't help but feel that for our ears, modern ears, reading these verses and hearing them this morning, fire does invoke a sense of hell, doesn't it? In the story immediately before today's passage, Jesus explains to the disciples that the Son of Man will come at an unexpected hour. And he uses a parable to illustrate and explains that those who are at work when the Master comes will be blessed. Much will be required and demanded from those who have been given much and entrusted with much. In the story immediately after, Jesus interacts with people in the crowd who want to know what he thinks about the Galileans whom Pilate murdered. Jesus remembers the Galileans who died, along with the 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, and he wonders aloud whether they were somehow worse sinners or offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem. Just like those who died, the people must face the same fate. Two times in five verses, Jesus exclaims, "Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." With so much heat in and around this chapter of Luke, how can we, as modern interpreters, come to terms with Jesus' stark claims that he will bring fire on the earth and cause division in it? Well, let's consider the latter claim first. It's one thing to say that you have come to destroy families, and an altogether something else to say that families will likely be destroyed, their family unity, on account of your coming. And Jesus makes the second claim, not the first. Division in families makes more sense when we consider who Jesus was and what he came into the world to do. Consider the most obvious source of contention. In a nuclear family, whether then or now, some conclude that Jesus is the Messiah, and others draw the opposite conclusion. Because these opposing views cannot be reconciled, a division comes to a family, sometimes a painful division. I think we saw that, or we can see that, illustrated in families in our neighbors to the south who have become divided over their political standings, who they support. A lesser point of contention could also develop, such as who gets to count as family outside the biological family. Jesus's mother and brothers likely felt the sting of this when Jesus left them standing outside the house in Matthew chapter 12. Pointing to his disciples, he said they were his mother and brothers. And indeed, anyone who did the Father's will was his brother and sister and mother. Both then and now, most family members will take offense if someone in their family refers to someone who is not blood as a mother or a brother or a sister. Again, because of Jesus, division comes to a family. Perhaps Jesus wants us to know the truth sooner rather than later, namely that being his disciple might mean that things will get worse in our families before they get better, if they get better at all. He is like a doctor who gives us a tough diagnosis after we get a disturbing test result. Is it better for the doctor to tell the patient up front that things will be hard for the foreseeable future than to lie or be intentionally ambiguous with the truth? The truth is difficult to swallow, but we can take some comfort. Jesus says it will get better someday, even if not in our families. In Mark's gospel, he says, the pain and sacrificial seed sown by those who have lost families because of him will yield a 100-fold harvest in this age and in the age to come. So what about the former claim that Jesus made, that he would bring fire upon the earth? Such a sharp statement would not have surprised Luke's audience. In Luke's account, John the Baptist declares that the one coming after him will baptize with the Spirit and fire. Indeed, he will come with a winnowing fork in his hand to gather the wheat and burn the chaff. And here is what might surprise us, and perhaps maybe even undo us, if we slow down long enough to let Jesus' words reach us at a deeper level. The fire that Jesus wishes were already kindled is a fire that he will endure on our behalf. He refers this way to his imminent passion that will culminate on a cross. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. A Christian does not have to ascribe to modern theological constructions of a doctrine of salvation, like substitutionary atonement, to conclude that Jesus, who is our judge, must pass through the indignity of a mock trial and unjust judgments of state-sponsored terrorism to deliver us from death. Even the thief who hangs on the cross next to Jesus understands what has happened when he reminds the other thief, "We indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." The one whose presence and mission will bring fire and division to the world knows how much it will cost him to bring it. Yet he decides to move forward anyhow. One could argue that it will cost him everything long before it costs us anything. It will cause him great stress and even harm, but will not deter him from his mission. When faced with the choice between avoiding the fire and enduring it, he will choose to pass through it, especially because he knows that is the best and only way to reach us. Now, while I was ruminating on this scripture passage in the gospel this week and wondering, what on earth am I going to do with it? I'll be honest. This song kept going through my head. And again, I could be dating myself, and some of you will be familiar and others not. But it was the song, "I've Seen Fire and I've Seen Rain," by James Taylor from the album Sweet Baby James. So, I mean, I could remember the chorus, and probably most of us can. "I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've been lonely, times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again." But it was one of the verses that stood out for me in looking at it. "Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You've got to help me make a stand. You've just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand, and I won't make it any other way." Jesus not only takes us through the fire, Jesus takes on the fire so that we can come through the fire to the other side and into the love and grace that awaits us. Thanks be to God. Amen.